Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all again after a very long break. Gathered for the first time in a month now that the state of emergency has been lifted. I'm so happy to be with you today to fellowship together in person. By the way, I had a little disaster when I brought my PowerPoint in to put on the computer. I had only one page. In 20 minutes, I had to scramble together a very quick PowerPoint with only verses in English. And I'm sorry that today's PowerPoint is much, not as full as I wanted it to be. Just verses in English. For the sermon today, actually, a month ago, I had originally planned to share with you some ideas I learned from one of my favorite books. But then, last week, we received some sad news, which sort of changed the atmosphere of today's meeting. I realized that my original topic was not suitable for a day like today. So instead of that topic, I decided to share with you a message that was born in my mind 2 months ago. For the past 2 months, I've been churning in my mind a possible sermon on a serious topic, a serious but necessary topic in the Christian church. Today's sermon is not about last week's news, but as I began outlining the message, you'll see it seems to have some degree related to the recent news. The topic of my sermon today is accountability. This is a word I've often heard used in Christian circles ever since my days in a Christian fraternity while a college student. It is important that each of us be accountable to at least one other fellow Christian, somebody who can be close enough to us to ask us how we are doing spiritually. You'll notice that the first verse I've chosen as a theme verse for my sermon is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And if accountability is important for us average Christians, how much more crucial is it for our Christian leaders? It is vitally important that every Christian leader be answerable to somebody. Answerable to a group of elders, or to a bishop, or to a denominational leadership board. All of us are fallible human beings and susceptible to temptation and sin. So we ought to have somebody who can check up on us and make sure that we are walking in accordance with Christian morals. This is especially true of leaders who are examples to their congregations. It was about 2 months ago that I started thinking about this topic of accountability. I watched some YouTube video interviews describing some disturbing revelations about a world-famous Christian leader. I'm referring to the Christian apologist named Ravi Zacharias. I don't know much about him, but I remember watching two or three of his lectures a couple years ago. The lectures really impressed me, and I thought I'd like to hear more from this guy. He passed away last year, and recently there have been a number of serious revelations about the various kinds of misconduct by him. It was quite shocking to learn that this man had been engaging in misconduct for many years. How could he have gotten away with it for so long? Apparently, he was so well-respected and so powerful in his ministry that people were afraid to confront him with signs that something was amiss. And there were many signs over the years. While listening to that story, two thoughts came vividly to mind. One was the apparent lack of accountability that there must have been in his ministry. The other thought was a Bible verse that really hit me in my younger days, and which kept me away from major sin. The verse is the second half of Numbers 32:23. Be sure that your sin will find you out. Be sure that your sin will find you out. If you think you can get away with doing some sin, be sure that it will be found out someday. Maybe your brothers and sisters will eventually find out. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? Even if they don't find out, certainly God will judge you for it sooner or later, in this life or in the next life. My second theme verse for today's message is Romans 14:12. So then, each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Well, that's the introduction to my message today. Next, I want to share with you some specific thoughts that have been going through my mind these past 2 months on this topic of accountability. And I entitled my sermon, Our Accountability Before God and Man. I began today by saying that I was taught in my younger days that each of us ought to be accountable to at least one other fellow Christian. When I sat down to start searching the scriptures to outline this idea, the first verses that came to my mind were more directed toward our accountability toward God. So I'm going to start there. Part one, our accountability before God. Let me share with you one of the verses that I've lived my life by. This is found in the last two verses of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. This book is one of my favorite books in the Bible. I don't know how many Christians say that Ecclesiastes is one of their favorites, but that's the case with me. And the last two chapters of that book have always been especially touching to me, in particular, the last two verses. Next. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. The conclusion, when everything has been heard, is this: fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. The author of Ecclesiastes has filled his book with many observations about life, some positive and some negative. And then he comes to this conclusion. There are two essentials in life: fear God and obey God's commandments. To fear God has two main aspects. Mainly, it means to have a sense of awe and reverence toward God. Secondarily, it means fearing God's displeasure and his fatherly discipline. Fearing God means to always have a sense of his presence in our lives and to seek to revere and honor him in the things we do, say, and think. I'm going to pause. I'm going to depart from my script right now. I really liked today's first hymn. I want to honor you. That actually is my daily prayer for myself, to honor God. That's so important. Back to my script. The second essential here in Ecclesiastes is to obey God's commandments. This is vitally important because God will, in the end, judge every act that we have done, whether it was good or it was evil. This verse has spurred me to live my life with the knowledge that in the end, God will examine everything I have done. So I had better live a life of reverence and obedience. I have not been perfect, far from it, but I live with this future perspective in mind. Romans 14:10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And verse 12, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Someday, each of us will stand before God to give account for our actions, both Christians and non-Christians. In Revelation 20, verse 12, we read about the last judgment. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. We will be judged according to our deeds. This is not teaching salvation by good works. No, in many places throughout the New Testament, we read that salvation is by faith in Christ. What we read about here is that we will all be held accountable for all of our deeds. Let me share with you some more details about what will happen to Christians, specifically, at the day of judgment. In 1 Corinthians 3:12 to 15, we are exhorted to build on the Christian foundation of our lives with useful deeds rather than useless deeds. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become evident, for the day of judgment will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet only as through fire. I shared this passage with you a couple years ago. When we build on our foundation with useful deeds, we build with gold and silver and precious stones. But if we build with useless works, that is wood, hay, and straw, which will simply be burned up and lost in the end. Such a Christian will still be saved in the end, but he will get no reward. To me, that is a really sad end. And I encourage my brothers and sisters to do useful things for our Lord, for the kingdom of God. Exercise your spiritual gifts. Find a place of service in the body of Christ, the church. I plan to say more on this topic in another message sometime later this year or next year. Well, that is all I have time to share with you today on part one, our accountability before God. Let's go on to part two, our accountability before man. The first verse that comes to my mind under this heading is Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another toward love and good deeds. Consider how we may spur one another, encourage one another toward love and toward good works. It is so important to be encouraging, inspiring, spurring one another to advance in our Christian walk and service. Let's look at the first half of Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We are to be teaching one another and also admonishing one another with wisdom after having the word of Christ dwelling in us fully. That's an important point. We can admonish and instruct one another, but do it wisely and in accordance with the word of Christ as we find it in Scripture. It is important that each of us be accountable to one or more fellow Christians, someone who can be close enough to us to be able to ask us some private questions, like, how has your spiritual life been lately, the past week, the past month? Are you reading your Bible? How is your prayer life? How is your family life? We need to be encouraging and building up one another. I started today's sermon by quoting Proverbs 27:17, As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Companionship is important, especially the type that will challenge us to grow. And it can be a reciprocal relationship where each one sharpens the other like iron sharpening iron. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the other will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. None of us should be alone in living the Christian life. All of us need encouragement and accountability. If one is alone, that can potentially lead to a fall. I began this sermon with a reference to the Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias, who apparently didn't have anyone he was accountable to. He had secret sins which he could indulge more and more over the years. I told you that I had watched some interviews about him on YouTube. The most impactful of those interviews was an interview with another Christian apologist named Josh McDowell, a man who has maintained a high level, high degree of integrity. 40 years ago, I saw McDowell speak when I was a student at UCLA, and his books helped lead me to Christ. At the end of that YouTube interview, next, McDowell was asked, "What are the top ways of implementing a layer of accountability that our ministry leaders should follow?" And Josh McDowell's topmost answer was this: give people the freedom to confront you. No matter who you are, just say, if you see anything in my life, my actions, my attitude, or anything that you might have any question about, then ask me. And if I respond in a negative way to it, react and confront me with that. Give people the freedom to confront you. That's one of the biggest things. Well, I am not ordained clergy. I'm just a lay person. And during the past 3 years, I have sometimes been invited to give the Sunday sermon from this pulpit. Speaking from this spot and commenting on the Word of God is an awesome responsibility, something to be taken very seriously. James 3:1 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." I want to take Josh McDowell's recommendation and invite you to examine me and hold me accountable. If you see anything amiss in me, please call it to my attention. I said a similar thing to my wife. Way back during our courtship, and a few times after we got married, I told her I wanted to hear her give me her wise words of wisdom, and that she shouldn't hold back if there was something she needed to say to me. So I would like to invite my brothers and sisters here at church to hold me accountable. Point out to me anything you see that looks amiss, something that I should work on and correct. Okay, the next part of this sermon, I want to tell you, in my bookcase, I have a book that's entitled The Man in the Mirror by Patrick Morley. It's a book written for Christian men to examine their lives. The last chapter of that book is about accountability. And I would like to share with you some of this man's thoughts on this subject. Morley calls accountability the missing link of Christianity. Many men want to be their own boss, so they avoid having to be answerable to anyone. But we need each other. Earlier, I quoted for you Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We all have blind spots in our lives, and it is useful to get another Christian's perspective on ourselves. We need the sharpening that this image implies. Having an accountability partner, one who will challenge us with pointed questions about how we are doing with our lives. Something we need. Morley tells us that the purpose, the goal of accountability is so that each day we become more Christ-like in all our ways. More Christ-like in all our ways. Actually, that should be the goal of every Christian discipline. To be more Christ-like, to be a disciple. Morley gives us a definition of accountability. To be regularly answerable to qualified people for each of the key areas of our lives. To be regularly answerable to qualified people for each of the key areas of our lives. Regularly. Morley says that it is his experience that meeting once a week with your accountability partner is the best. Answerable. Businessmen have to be answerable to somebody. Companies set goals and expect their people to meet those goals and to answer to their superiors about how they use their time and resources. As in business, Christians should set goals and live by certain standards if we are to achieve our purpose of becoming Christ-like. Being answerable to someone helps us make sure we are reaching those goals. To qualified people, you should pick a reliable and compatible person as an accountability partner. Most of all, this person should love Christ and seek to see you succeed. The person should be someone you respect and whose judgment you trust. For each of the key areas in our lives, these include your relationship with your wife, your kids, and God. We should be wise stewards of time and money. We should watch our moral and ethical behavior. Morley gives many examples. Of utmost importance, Morley says, we must give our accountability partner the right to ask us the hard questions. Unless we have some people who are measuring and help us measure our success in the key areas of our lives, then we will lead a secret life, a life not held answerable to the commands of Christ. Let there be no error in our thinking, says Mr. Morley. No man can live the Christian life alone. Left to our own devices, we will convince ourselves our own infallibility. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Be careful of that verse in Jeremiah. Being held accountable gives another person the right and responsibility to take the initiative. To be accountable is to give answers to the questions we are asked. In your life, does anyone ask you questions? Morley concludes his chapter with a reminder that the main purpose of accountability, to each day become more Christ-like in all of your ways. To become more Christ-like day by day. This brings to my mind Ephesians 4:22-24, which I don't think I got on the PowerPoint. Ephesians 4:22-24. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I love this image. Putting off the old self. Like putting off old clothes. Then being renewed in the spirit of our minds and putting on the new self. The likeness of God. The image of Christ. And I'm going to close today's message with Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Here is the essence of Christian living. Christ has been crucified, and we too give up our lives, give them up for him. We recognize that our life is not our own, but his. And he lives in us, and we live our lives for him by faith, with gratitude that he gave his life for us. So let's strive more and more to be like Christ. That's the end of today's message. I'm going to say a little prayer for our church life and everyone right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit to empower us. You've given us your word to read, to enlighten us, and to have your Holy Spirit guide us in our reading. I pray that each of us would remember the lessons we learned today about accountability, integrity, walking with you, and being Christ-like. I pray, Lord, as we have a transition time now looking for a new pastor, I pray that we will be wise in our pastoral search, and I pray you bless that search. And I pray you bless each of us guest speakers as they speak from this pulpit in the coming weeks. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will remember to walk with you and with each other, encouraging and admonishing each other to walk and keep walking. And keep walking faithfully with you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.